The Public News Service Daily Newscast for May the 19th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Despite calls for more transparency over COVID-19 outbreaks and long-term care facilities, Arizona officials are refusing to release the locations of those establishments.
AARP Arizona and others have repeatedly called on the state to name facilities with significant coronavirus outbreaks and deaths. The Arizona Department of Health Services cites privacy laws, but several news media outlets are suing the state, claiming the information is public. AARP Arizona's Dana Kennedy says the response to outbreaks has been much too slow, causing unnecessary deaths.
We can't hit the reset button, but testing dollars need to go to our long-term care facilities immediately. That means long-term care, skilled nursing facilities, assisted living facilities, group homes, anywhere that there is congregate housing.
As of Monday, there were over 14,000 coronavirus cases in Arizona, with 686 deaths. And in Metro Phoenix, 188 of 233 virus-related deaths were residents of care facilities. Mark Richardson reporting.
State health officials declared there what they're calling a COVID-19 testing blitz across Arizona during May. The emphasis is on testing staff and residents at the state's 147 nursing care facilities. However, a national survey out Monday shows Arizona is 49th among the 50 states for the number of tests performed. President Trump declared Monday he is taking daily doses of hydroxychloroquine. CNN reports it's a drug he has long touted as a potential coronavirus cure, even as medical experts and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration question its efficacy and warn of potentially harmful side effects. Speaking at a meeting of restaurant executives, Trump said he began taking the anti-malarial drug after consulting with the White House doctor, though he stopped short of saying his physician had actually recommended the drug. Farm and fruit packing workers considered essential in Washington state and they're roiled in struggles for better working conditions.
Yakima County is the biggest hotspot for coronavirus cases on the West Coast, and the fruit packing warehouses in the area have been a vector for the disease. Last week, workers at seven companies went on strike against unsafe conditions. Marciano Sanchez with the Washington State Farm Workers Union Familias Unidas por la Justicia has been at protests alongside workers.
They end up being really afraid because they're out there working without protection, knowing that if they end up getting the coronavirus, it's pretty dangerous. And on top of that, they have to go back home where they have family, and they don't want those families to get infected either.
The companies say they have been working to implement safety standards as new guidelines emerge. For Public News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
Advocates note that workers are being called greedy for asking for hazard pay, even though other industries already are doing this. This is PNS. Wisconsin farmers are not immune to changing weather patterns affecting the Midwest. Mike Mullen reports that's why those who are adopting conservation practices hope other farmers follow suit.
The National Climate Assessment says heavy downpours and flooding are among the biggest climate change threats facing the upper Midwest. The report says the frequency of days with heavy precipitation is projected to increase for the region. Larry Clemens with the Nature Conservancy points to wet conditions in states such as Wisconsin last year that caused major headaches for farmers.
In many areas, we had a wet spring, so crops got planted late, which meant they got harvested late.
Clemens says that's why his group is working with the agriculture community on promoting conservation practices such as cover crops. In Wisconsin, other groups and agencies involved include the Dairy Strong Sustainability Alliance and the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
And LGBTQ plus people can now get help during the pandemic from a new COVID-19 Help Center website and helpline that was launched on Monday.
COVID-19.eqca.org will include full lists of service providers in all 53 counties and will feature free webinars for people out of work. Samuel Garrett Pate with Equality California, which created the site, says it's designed to connect people to the right resources.
They can look up a testing site near them if they need help filing for unemployment, applying for a small business loan, if they just need someone they can talk to because they're dealing with mental health challenges as a result of the crisis. All of that information is on the website.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Finally, our Eric Lavis tells us a coalition of 135 Colorado organizations urging the state lawmakers there to use all tools in their toolbox to blunt the most serious economic impacts of the pandemic.
Lost revenues are projected to create a $3.3 billion budget shortfall, the largest in state history. Adam Fox with the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative says the anticipated cuts would be far greater than any made during the Great Recession.
What that means is that there will be huge cuts to education, to healthcare services, to services for older adults, to everything that our state government pitches in for.
The coalition, which includes groups serving the state's most vulnerable communities, is calling for federal relief, tapping the state's emergency fund, and temporarily raising taxes on Coloradans earning more than $250,000 a year. Fox notes that 95% of workers would see their tax bill go down under the proposal.
Ever since COVID-19 set the economy into what many are now calling a medically induced coma, 420,000 Coloradans have filed for unemployment. Sales taxes and other revenue sources have all but dried up. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and are online at publicnewsservice.org.